Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the whole of the universe, and the universe which we see every day and that is in front of us. We have the oceans, large oceans and seas and mountain ranges and jungles, forests and different animals and species and all ajeeb, unique makhluk and creation of Allah. And how many forms of creation that we're not even aware of, we don't even haven't seen or don't know, has not been researched. And to the extent that we see, Allah Ta'ala has more and over and above that created more forms of creation beyond that. So we have some ilm, knowledge of certain things, and others we don't have knowledge of. And some things Allah Ta'ala hasn't even told us, that what forms of creation are spread out amongst, across the earth and the heavens. But whatever makhluk Allah Ta'ala has created, whatever it is and however it is, that the afzal, the greatest creation form, is the human being. And you see the elephant, if we look at an elephant, it's much bigger than a human being. But Allah says the human being is greater than the elephant or other animals and forms of creation. So if Allah Ta'ala has created so many forms, and the human being that Allah Ta'ala has created, which we are, then think that Allah Ta'ala, how much capacity Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must have instilled into the human being. Capacity, strength, and power that Allah Ta'ala has instilled into the human. Because Allah is the Hakim. He is the one who's created. His Rabb, His Qadir. He didn't just make something and said, "Oh God, off you go, leave it to you." So imagine the secrets behind Allah's creation, that Allah Ta'ala has made the human being. The reasons and the wisdom and the secrets. So what does Allah Ta'ala want from the afzal makhluqat, from the greatest form of creation? It's something to think about, that this is not a small thing. We are human beings. Yeah? We are human beings. It's not a minor point. We need to really understand this. And then let's go beyond this point. That we are those human beings. Firstly, as I said, human beings are afzal al-makhlukat, the greatest form of creation. And then we, sitting here, and we human beings, we have been given another great level above that of just a human being. And what is that? How Allah Ta'ala has instilled iman into the hearts. Iman. So all human beings in the world are the greatest form of creation. But who are the greatest human beings? Those who Allah Ta'ala has given iman. So they are beyond and above the normal human beings. They are unique. They are special. So we need to think here that what will be the status of a human being who believes in Allah, the people of iman, who have belief in their hearts. How valuable those people must be who have iman. How valuable the creation is who believes in Allah. But the problem is we don't realize what we are worth. We don't even understand what we are. We have got lost in the color and the glow and the glitter of this world. And we think our objective is just running around and doing nothing. And even the other animals laugh at us. The dogs and the cats, they laugh at us. They laugh. They say, "Look at these human beings. They're worse than us. Allah's made them human beings." And those animals, the dogs and cats, know what the capacity we've been given, the power. The man who has iman, the woman with iman, the dogs and cats and animals know that this human being has a lot of capacity and a lot of potential and energy and ability. And they say, "Well, this foolish person who is iman doesn't even know what he or she is made for." We think that we just eat and then drink and then fulfill the lust and desires and create and give birth to children and multiply and reproduce, and then we'll get old and we'll die. We have no plan. We have no objective. And the animals do the same as what I've just said. The animals eat. The animals, they fulfill their lust and desire. They reproduce. They have all of these qualities. So what's the difference between us and the animals? What's the difference? Then listen, what is our objective and what Allah Ta'ala wants from us. Let's listen to this. What does Allah Ta'ala want from us? Especially the people of iman, belief. What does Allah Ta'ala want? This is the status that all of the desires that we have within us, and we have this desire that Allah Ta'ala has also put in front inside of us, which we have suppressed. We've suppressed. We've squeezed it down. We've hidden it. We've made it a minor. If we want to get married 4 times, huge desire. If we want good food to eat, huge desire. If we want a nice big house, huge desire. But the most greatest objective Allah Ta'ala has instilled into a person of iman, that desire we don't understand. Nor do we think about that desire. Nor do we think about that desire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a desire within us, and every mu'min should have this desire. And remember, the meaning of desire is that we should complete the desire, that we have to attain this desire. Not in the world. Don't we do this? In the world, I have a desire, my child wants to be this. And we try our best, isn't it? And we run after that desire. Oh, I feel that my child becomes a hafiz. How much we run after and work hard. We beg, we go to the madrasa, to the ulama akram. Please teach my child, please. Oh, I feel like that my child becomes an alim. And we run to the darul uloom, the institution. I want my child to do hifz. We are trying because we have a desire. We work hard. We don't just have a desire, but we work hard to take that desire to accomplishment. Accomplishment. Conclusion. So the greatest desire, which is the objective of our creation, the greatest desire that we should have within us, then what is that? So if that desire is there, then to attain that desire is our objective. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's very easy to understand what I'm saying, isn't it? So we all have desires, world, house, money, fame, glory. But this desire is the greatest desire that Allah Ta'ala has created. And obviously that the person of Iman belief should have this desire that Allah Ta'ala says is the greatest desire that a human being can have. So we should have this and we should be working hard to accomplish it. And what is this desire? What's the desire that Allah Ta'ala says is the greatest desire? That I want to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't have this, isn't it? It's a very small desire for us, isn't it? Just for me to think that I love Allah. You say, oh, what's this? That Allah loves everybody. I don't need to have this desire. Somebody will say, who is it that Allah Ta'ala doesn't love? And the person of Iman, Allah Ta'ala of course loves the people of Iman. The question doesn't arise that Allah Ta'ala doesn't love, isn't it? There may be someone like me, a sinful person, doesn't pray Salah, nauzubillah. For example, if you disrespect a person, even if he doesn't pray Salah, and you disrespect him and say what Allah Ta'ala will do, isn't it? Allah Ta'ala, for example, if you disrespect somebody you like, and then you will obviously say that, don't do this. So Allah Ta'ala says that this is not a good desire. There's a greater desire than this. Tell me, what is that desire? Very great desire. We need to fulfill this desire. And we sat here to fulfill this desire. Me, if I say to you that I come here for a certain purpose and I come with a message. And there's nothing else and I just deliver that message and then we do the dhikr. Because my objective is not coming here just to do dhikr. Do you understand? That's not our purpose. So brothers, Allah Ta'ala has created all human beings and the people of Iman are greater. And if we don't know our purpose and objective and we're getting old and we're going close to our grave, Allah will ask us that the thing that I instilled into you, why did you not fulfill that? What is the answer we'll give? Allah will say, I created within you an objective, a purpose. Why didn't you fulfill it? So Allah has put into us a desire, which is the greatest desire, which we have to accomplish, is that Allah should be loving us. Say Subhanallah. Subhan, not that we love Allah. Obviously we will say we love Allah. It's not my miracle that I say, oh Allah, I love you, and this is the greatest thing. No, the achievement is that Allah loves us. This is the achievement we need to get to. And Allah says, this is the greatest desire you should have. Allah says, go, my servant, and I will announce for in the heavens that I love this person. And Allah does this. Look at the hadith. And there are people who Allah Ta'ala loved in the history. And this is the desire that we need to bring into our hearts. And this is the greatest desire that any human being can achieve. Do you understand the point I'm making? That there's no one can be worthy and say that he's a human being if Allah doesn't love him. He's not a human being. His iman is an empty box. He's alone. Just consider, he's eating, drinking, he's getting old, he'll die and be buried in the sand. Our objective is one, that we need Allah to announce in the heavens, just once at least, that this man is my beloved person. And this is all of us in the world need to attain this desire. So when that person dies, who Allah Ta'ala loves in the heavens and announces it, tell me what will be his hal? What will be a great death he will have? His reception in the grave, he'll be a VIP, very important person. His grave will be decorated with luxury, he'll have light in his grave in the hereafter. Because Allah Ta'ala's kainat, the creation of the universe, Allah says, my mahbub, beloved, is coming to me. Just like you love someone and you're coming home, your family, what will they do 1 week before this? Oh, I love that my child or my relative, do this, prepare wallpaper, decoration, make food, fish, fry the fish, he likes this, cook this curry, this dish, will love, because my mahbub's coming, my beloved's coming, cook this. And if not, if we don't do this, then you don't love that person. So if Allah Rabbul Alameen is saying that I love this human being, then imagine how Allah is waiting that, quickly come back my beloved, quickly come back. And the second point is that Allah Ta'ala says, I will decorate and receive that person, the reception, the host. Allah will, according to his shan and glory, receive that. You, me, every one of us that very close to Allah we can be if we have this desire that Allah loves us. And if we look in the world, doesn't matter how a person is, If he doesn't have food to eat for 10 days, he hasn't got clothes to wear, he's poor and he's disabled, whatever hal he is in, and the people of the world don't consider him to be anything. If Allah Ta'ala says that he is my Mahbub, then he's the greatest person. He's the greatest. Maybe we don't think that person's great. Maybe they're poor, torn clothes, no money, disheveled hair, and we don't even look at that person twice in the world. But Allah announces in the heavens that this person is close to me, is my friend. Then the history, the destiny for that person changes. So my brothers, what is it that stops us from getting to the point that Allah announces in the heavens that this person is my beloved? Why don't we make this our objective? Why don't we run after this target? There's a big obstacle. And shall I tell you what is the obstacle? Will we remove this obstacle? Say it loudly. Inshallah. Inshallah. Yeah, because I want to hear what is the reply. I want to hear the angels also, they hear your inshallah. It's not just that we're saying small things, we're saying big things. So we need to make the big sort of understanding. So what we're talking about here is that Allah created us, we need to get to the conclusion, a positive conclusion, and accomplish something. Do we think about what I speak about? Does anyone think about what I'm saying? For example, even if we think, we say that Allah announces that I am good and Allah likes me. How can this be? How can this be, Hazrat, that Allah will announce? When we sit down to eat, we say that I'm capable of eating, I'm capable of wearing clothes, I'm capable of driving a car, I'm capable. But when we speak about Allah should be loving us, we say, no, that's not for me. That's for Jibreel alayhi salam and other pious people. So we've degraded ourselves so much that we don't know what is Iman. We don't know what is Iman. We don't even know what is the power of Iman. The people, they say to us that you're nothing, that you can't get close to Allah. How can it be that Allah will say He loves us? But it's Allah who's created us. And Allah who's created us is saying that you are great, O human being. You are great, O woman. And we say, no, I'm nothing. I can't get close to Allah. We're not worthy. We have such a big inferiority complex that if somebody says we're pious or we can be good, we say, no, I can't be pious. I'm just worthless and just... No, Iman is a very, very strong asset. And we need to build upon our Iman. We need Allah Ta'ala to announce that He loves us. And what is it that has stopped us? Ghaflat. Negligence and laziness. Is it laziness in my eyes, in my ears, in my body? No, in my heart there's laziness. In my heart there's neglect. The laziness of the heart is what destroys a human being. Look, how does the sequence run? I'll tell you. Why is the heart lazy and neglectful? Do you know why the heart is lazy? Why the heart doesn't feel like doing anything? Because there's a food for the heart. If we see now, let's say there's something in front of us that we leave. Yeah, in our daily actions, we leave it. There'll be a reaction. There's a reaction to an action. I'll give you an example. There's a person who does exercise every day. Exercise. He's fit, he's slim, he's tender, he's used to it, he's made his body, he's strong, powerful. Then he leaves exercise. Then his body will start to flab. Yeah, and the muscles that he made, the biceps, he leaves the exercise, then the muscles will sag, they'll drop, and they'll become slow and weak, and his body won't look good and lean. Yeah, if we eat regularly, let's leave a few days eating. Soon as we leave eating, we'll become frail and weak, and energy will be lost because you left eating. So there'll be reaction. If you leave drinking water, 3-4 days you don't drink water, then you'll be dehydrated, lose energy, you'll be sapped. So there's a reaction to an action. You don't drink water, you'll get sapped of hydration. In the same way, we have a spiritual life. There are two things. One is the physical life. One is the spiritual life inside. Totally within us. My eyes, ears, mouth, everything has a reaction on my soul, my heart. And there's a food for the soul. So if I stop feeding the soul, then the soul will become weak. It will become frail, just like the heart, the body, the muscles go weak. So if all your life you don't feed your nafs and your soul, it will sit in the corner, weak and frail and totally useless, the nafs and the soul and the ruh. So we need to understand here is the heart, our heart, which is our inner self. Why is it lazy and neglectful and it doesn't want to go close to Allah? Is that the food for the heart is dhikr Allah. Very simple formula. I'm not saying this. The Quran, the whole Quran is full of this and the hadith is full of this. If you think, I'm saying this, I do dhikr, I'm telling you this. No. The person, if he doesn't understand this point, refer to the Quran. Every Muslim has to understand this, that the food for the heart is dhikr of Allah. Okay? So, if we leave dhikr, then the heart becomes weak. If we leave food, physically the body goes downhill. If we leave dhikr, then the heart becomes ghafil, lazy. Direct effect of the food, if we leave it, is on the heart. So whichever human being is far from dhikr and he doesn't do dhikr, then his heart is ghafil. Lays this hadith clear cut in the hadith is defined that person's dead. He's like a lifeless person. The person who doesn't do dhikr is a lifeless person. When the heart is lifeless, then what will be the hal? What will be the reaction? That person will be close to the nafs, the desires. Close to what? To the base desires, which is our biggest enemy. And the nafs will become close to you, the base desires. And when the nafs is close to you, then your nafsiyati desires through which the nafs was made, your desires, your base desires of the nafs, isn't it? Then they will overwhelm your life physically. The doors open to the base desires. And when the nafsiyati desires come into your life and you enter into that lifestyle, when you enter into that room of base desires, Allahu Akbar, totally that person's life, he will be a slave of his base desires. And when he's a slave of his base desires, and nafs, every action, worship, whatever that human being does, he is obeying his base desires and nafs, and there's no value in the eyes of Allah for this. Allah says, I want you to do ibadah. Those whose hearts are alive, their deeds are accepted. Remember this point. Remember, Quran I'm telling you here. Quran. So every worship of yours, your action, your base desires, if you're following them, obeying them, whatever amal you do, if you don't do dhikr, you will be obeying your base desires. And when you follow your base desires and your nafs, then there's no life and no zest in that practice of yours. No passion. It's lifeless. This is the point to understand. So the ghafil human being, what desire can he have in his heart? How will he ever feel that Allah, I need you to love me? Will he think this? No. Because he's lazy, so it's lazim, my friends. Do dhikr of Allah. Remember Allah. When you do Allah Ta'ala's dhikr regular, then your heart, what will happen to it? It will become, it will be instilled with the life. Its origination will come back to it. The asl, the genuine reason for the heart to be made will come back. And your desires will come to the heart for which you were created. You'll have a sudden desire. The Allah, I want to become your beloved Allah. I want to become close to you Allah. And when this desire comes into your heart, then alhamdulillah, every action of yours will reflect your desire. You'll do actions and implementation that Allah, I want you to love me for my every action. This passion and drive will come into your heart. This love. So this is dhikr of Allah the Creator. Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam, great prophet of Allah. Dawood alayhi salam, Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala said, Dawood announced that, look here, that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes people his creation, his beloved. As Allah Ta'ala said, Dawood, announce to the people that I love the action of dhikr. Allah Ta'ala is saying, what to Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam? That announced Dawood to the people that I love dhikr, action, and whoever loves dhikr, then he will love me and I will love him. Subhanallah. Great statement. So have we not got the path? What's the path? That Allah himself is saying automatically that I'm loving you, my creation. What's the amal? The deed, dhikr of Allah. Simple. Allah says, "Was I love dhikr. So if you do dhikr, I will love you. Tell them, O Dawood, alayhi salam, and whoever, Allah Ta'ala says, I love dhikr, and whoever man or woman does dhikr, Allah says, I love that man or woman. And Allah says, if I love that person, that human being, then his link with me is unique. Special, that human being is different from all the other human beings. If Allah Ta'ala starts to love a human being, imagine Allah loves you. Yeah? Then your bodily is different. Physically is different. Spiritually is different. Allah Ta'ala says, spiritually I'm telling you that what will that human being be? People in the world may not recognize him, but what will that human being become? Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ajib, beautiful point here. Ajib. Allah Ta'ala says that there are three prophets. Allah Ta'ala named three prophets. As a Khalilullah, as a Ibrahim alayhi salam, as a Kaleem Allah, as a Musa alayhi salam, and as a Habib Allah, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala said that when I declare that somebody is my beloved, then these three prophets, through their nur, I instill the khamir, the nur into that person. From these three anbiya, into that insan, into that human being. Subhanallah. The reflection of the nur of the light into that person, into his qualities. And Allah Ta'ala states that from my jamal, that I will decorate that person with ni'mas. Allah Ta'ala says, from my jamal. Imagine the difference of that human being. Huh? If he remembers Allah, he will have the qualities of these three great prophets, and the jamal and the nur from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give to that person and enlighten that person if we go onto the right path. And then in one place Allah Ta'ala says that three rewards I give to my servants, and I create in them three special qualities. Number one, their hearts will have a very special wisdom inside it. and such sighs come out, such, you know, like for example, the fountains, they gush forth from the earth. Allah says, hikmah then gushes forth from those people's hearts that come onto the tips of their tongues of ulum and knowledge. Allah says, I instill that into the hearts of those who remember me. Yeah, hikmah gushes out of their heart and to the tips of their tongues. And secondly, Allah says that their deeds, they'll be very heavy and weighty, very heavy and weighty. These people, the dhakirin, that when their deeds will be weighed on the scale, then so weighty will there be deeds, that if you put the weight, if you put everything in the universe into one scale, and you put the one deed on the other scale, it will be heavier than what the whole universe contains. These are the words of Allah and His Mahbub, that you are my Mahbub, O my beloved. Allah Ta'ala has just made apparent a few points about the qualities of the Mahbub of Allah. And the third point here, subhanAllah, is so great, that more than this, that if a person has a desire, a good desire, Allah says, more than that, over and that, I know what is your desire. And he's just thinking, Allah says, I fulfill his dua and his desire even before he even thinks about that desire. SubhanAllah. So are there people like this in the world or are there not? There are people. MashaAllah, we call them the awliya Allah. And these are those people who understood their purpose, who identified their destination, and they put it into practice. How? By doing dhikr, they brought dhikr into the life. Simple, nothing rocket science. Not for a second were they far from Allah's dhikr. Rather, to think they thought that it was death if they stayed away from dhikr. One second, there was a great wali of Allah who passed away. Hazrat Muhammad bin Ibrahim Hakim, rahmatullahi, he said that I saw my father, who himself was a great sheikh, if he was a wali, his father was a wali, he said, I saw my father in Baghdad, I think it was in Baghdad. And he said, he had so much love with dhikr of Allah, so much love for dhikr of Allah, that when he used to go to have a bath in the river, they used to have a bath in the river, they didn't have bathrooms or toilets, isn't it, or showers, when they used to go to have a bath in the river, he said, I saw my father, that when he was having a bath in the river, he was doing dhikr of Allah, and that river, all of the fish that used to be in the river, they would come to him, gather, and they'd be doing dhikr of Allah around him, to him. These are the creation, how the creation, the other animals recognize, oh, this man is beloved to Allah. Now let's see our reflection, our life. Is there dhikr in my life? Think. Is there dhikr? If there's no dhikr, then how will I have the desire, good desire, and how will I get to the conclusion? How are we going to die? How will we die? Everything hinges on one thing. All our deeds are good, but all the deeds hinge on one thing. If our deeds are not done with dhikr, our heart is dead. And if the heart is dead, then we're following our desires. So this does not mean leave other deeds, all other practices Islamically. No, rather revive your deeds, bring life into them by doing dhikr of Allah. So I'm not saying that don't do this and don't do that and do that. No, the objective is that we need to make our deeds alive, inject life into our deeds. Because we are the greatest form of creation, the human being. And the biggest path, the greatest path that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, which is His dhikr. And the examples that are in front of us, that we need to look at the examples that those who do dhikr of Allah or did and they passed away, what great human beings they were. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Mulana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he just passed away recently in the decades that passed. Look at his life, his dhikr, and what he used to say about dhikr of Allah. Hazrat Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, and how much love he had for dhikr. What a great kitab, Fazaili Dhikr. Fazaili Amal, the virtues of dhikr, and how he used to tell his students and people how his life, morning and evening, ask his students, those who lived their life with him, ask them what was his life. Hazrat Mulana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah, Shaykh al-Hadith, he was immersed in dhikr, in love with dhikr, totally a reflection, his life was of dhikr, that if he had so much food, spiritual as dhikr, then why did Allah Ta'ala subhanahu, obviously Allah would have renounced that, he's my beloved, this person. When a person becomes beloved to Allah, which masjid is there? Tell me a mosque in Malton, in UK, where Hazrat Zakariya Sahib's name, rahmatullah, is not mentioned. Tell me, morning, evening, afternoon, the jamaats, the tabligh jamaat, what do they do? MashaAllah, every time they read the kitab that Hazrat Zakariya Sahib wrote, when a person leaves something and he's pious, who gets the reward? He will get it, won't he? Tell me how much thawab he's earning now at this moment in time. Tell me his name. People don't even know him. They've never seen him. But we are sending the thawab to him just by reading his kitab. So is he not the mahbub of Allah? Is he not beloved to Allah? Is he not close to Allah? What kind of human being was he? That these three, four qualities, when they will come into your life, how? How that human being becomes so high and lofty. SubhanAllah, Hazrat Bayazid Bastami rahmatullah is also included in the great personalities in history. And there was drought once, drought. Severe drought, starvation, no food, no rain, people are dying, they were thirsty. And he was sat, and he used to ask him, he wasn't a king, He was poor. And as I said, worldly nowadays, people run after the man with money. But spiritually, when you have a desire, Allah Ta'ala says, your ruh, your soul will be higher and in a high position, subhanAllah. So they explain to others what is the reason for life. So people came, Hazrat, there's a drought. Do dua. He went into Maraqabah. 5 minutes he did Maraqabah. He said, now go and get your containers ready and get ready for the rain and the pipes. One whole day and night, so much rain fell, all of the containers filled. All of the fulfillment, the requirements for water were fulfilled. Because Allah Ta'ala promised that my beloved, when he asks me, I fulfill his desire, his good desire. And his adab, Allah Ta'ala increases his adab. The how, the adab, the manners, the behavior has a Bayezid Bastami, and his level status. I remember one of his other statements. He said that the people come to my majlis gathering, they take two things when they leave my majlis. That the beloved of Allah, obviously then his guests will take something back. Allah Ta'ala loves the people who would attend his gathering. He said the guests who come to my majlis take two things. Either they'll take Allah Ta'ala's curse or Allah Ta'ala's mercy. One of these two. Two types of people come to my majlis, my gathering. They said, Hazrat, how can it be that they take curse, Allah's curse? And how is it that they take the rahmah? He said, the curse is such that when they come to my majlis, my gathering, and they sit, and after that, when he criticizes, and he looks at my actions, and criticizes, and then he starts to backbite against me after the gathering. And this is that person, oh, he said this, he said that, that's not right. All his life, Allah Ta'ala's curse comes from that person, said. And secondly, that person who comes to my majlis, and recognizes the haq straight away, the truth, recognizes it and understands and then leaves with Allah Ta'ala's love over him, then all his life Allah's mercies rain down upon that person. That's the two opposite extremes. So these are the majalis of the walis of Allah, my friends, my brothers. When we go there, go with a true, honest niyyah. I'm going there, I'm traveling, I want to get close to Allah, I want Allah's pleasure, I'm going to sit here, this guide, I will hear good things from him, he'll tell us about Quran, hadith, I'll make my life a reflection of the Quran and the hadith. But others come, oh, what's this drama, what's this group here, what's this dhikr, what's this person, what's this, why is he saying this? They don't want to do nothing, they have no niyyah, they don't like the haq, they don't like to hear the haq, they don't want to increase their desire for Allah, they don't can't hear good things about the world. This was his ta'lim and education in Quran. So Allah decides that for that person, all his life he will be cursed for the rest of life until the qabr. And it's the same majlis. A person came to Hazrat Bayezid Rahmatullah's gathering and he sat there, he was sitting. Look at the quality and the status of the wali of Allah. A person came and he said, he started looking and he sat down, put his legs out, and he didn't have the adab, the manners, he didn't know how to sit in front of Hazrat. After a while, Hazrat put, and then he put his feet in after a while. And he, that person, when Hazrat put his feet in, and when he wanted to put his feet in and cross his legs, until death he could not cross his legs and bring his legs in. Because when Allah Ta'ala makes somebody beloved, brothers, there's adab and manners and behavior, how to act and how to behave in front of him. And this is Allah who selects. This is Allah Ta'ala who selects. Allah Ta'ala says, for everyone, I want every one of you to become my wali. Allah says, every one of you, you should do my dhikr. Allah Ta'ala announces that all of you should be close to me. Allah says, I will make every one of you human beings beloved to me if you do my dhikr. So what's the sequence? How does a person become Allah's beloved? When we do dhikr of Allah, then our heart goes far from laziness, ghaflat. When your heart goes far from neglect, and then you go far from shaitan and your base desires and nafs, then you don't get overwhelmed by your nafs and the desires, but you are overwhelmed by sharia and sunnah. You think, how shall I live my life? It's easy for you then to follow sharia. You start loving the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No wali of Allah ever passed from this world. No wali of Allah who lived in this world. Take any one of them from the thousands in history. What was the basis of their life? Quran and sharia. Nothing else. Nothing else. Miracles Allah gave to them, yes. But they never went after karamat or miracles or vision. They said, no, let me present Quran, sharia, and sunnah as the success criteria. They never made miracles and supernatural powers. Never did they use karama to propagate deen or to do dawah. Yeah, maybe others were waiting or looking out for these things, but their status special was whenever they gave dalil and proof, Quran and sharia, Quran and sunnah. That was their life and their statements. Never did you find anything else from their life. And the biggest karamat miracle of a wali is that he is so steadfast on the sunnah of Rasulullah. He is extremely steadfast on the sunnah. And those whose hearts, when they start doing dhikr of Allah, and those whose hearts, who look here, what a great sign here. You will see it straight away from that person. When there's a person, a human being, if for example, we today also do this. If we want to be pious, what should we do? We should start with dhikr of Allah. And as soon as you start doing dhikr of Allah, and you work hard on dhikr of Allah with the fadl of Allah, then the first thing that happens is what? That the life will become a reflection of the sunnah of Rasulullah. The first thing you'll start to love is the sunnah. So before we did dhikr, it's so hard, oh, I can't practice this. Oh, it'll be difficult. Oh, this is too difficult. difficult in society, always hard for me to do this. But as soon as dhikrullah started, because the heart becomes alive, and the first thing the heart will do when it becomes alive, it will give you the message of how to become beloved to Allah, through which you can become the beloved to Allah. Because when the heart announces that Allah, I want your servant, your human being, to become your beloved, so then it creates all of the sifat and the qualities in your life through which you can become closer to Allah. And the biggest sift is called in kuntum tuhibbun Allah fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah. Look, whenever there is a wali of Allah, his example, alhamdulillah, the greatest sign is that he is very regular, steadfast on sunnah sharia. And when his hand raises after a dhikr and his heart is alive, then you will see that he loves the sunnah extremely. Extremely. So my brothers, dhikr of Allah is a great action. Wala dhikr Allah akbar. We are living in the day and age of laziness. There are two paths in front of us. That either we can fulfill our life like animals and leave this world, or the second way is that we become proper human beings, follow that path that Allah has given to us. Allah says, I want you to become my beloved. Every human being, man, woman, brother, sister, should have this desire. And if you have this desire, the first action you have to do is what? Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. In abundance, regularly, steadfastly sit with the walis of Allah, listen to them, do dhikr, alhamdulillah, and understand the points, the tariqah, the methodology, and establish it in your life. And when dhikr comes with Allah's fadl, everything in your life will become easy, smooth and nurani. Because your heart becomes full of nur. So the person whose heart is black and dead, his actions are dead. His actions are void. He'll have no steadfastness, no nur in his life. No light in his life, he won't leave the sins. And when he'll have sins, and he'll have amal and deeds, it'll be a mixture and a kichri. I'm doing this and that, following desires, practicing, praying. You know, people said, oh, I want deen and I want dunya. World and dunya, big claim to that. Those people, I need deen and dunya. You understand deen? Oh, I'm praying salah, and my child is praying salah, and dunya is okay if he sins. It doesn't matter. He's praying at the same time, isn't it? It doesn't matter. So deen and dunya, we've got both, isn't it? Oh, this is enough for my son. He goes to the mosque sometimes. That's fine. Let him do what he's doing in the dunya. It's okay. He'll be fine. This is nonsense. Is this what our deen teaches us? Our deen, Islam, there's no dunya. Deen. And you'll say, how can it be? But we're living in the world. I've got my wife, children. Yeah, I'll tell you, that's right. The mu'min's dunya is also his deen. Okay? So if you make your dunya in the light and the knee of deen, then Allah makes your dunya deen at the same time. Your wife, children are your deen. They're your religion. It's not dunya. But if you look at your wife and children and dunya in the sake of world love, then if you look at those same things in the eyes of the deen, for example, you have a shop. And you're running your shop. And if your niyyah is to make hordes of money, then that's dunya. But if you said, this is deen, I'm going to run my shop, make money, I'll spend it on my children, I'll bring my children up, I'll feed them, then I'll pay my zakat, and charity will go on umrah and hajj, then that is your shop, which is in the dunya, but it will become a fountain of reward for you. So the mu'min's life is not, oh, I've got deen and dunya. No, just deen and deen and deen Allah, that our dunya also becomes our deen. Our business also become a deen. Our job becomes deen. Our wife and children become a deen. Everything, all our love for the world becomes a deen. So what should it be? Deen and deen and deen. For Allah's sake. For Allah's sake. Your wife, you go to your wife. You have the relations with the wife. You're saying, Allah, you've given me lust, my desires. You've created them in my heart. Allah, you give me a halal way. And if I don't fulfill my desires in the halal way, then I'll go to the dirty way. So Allah Ta'ala says that to save you from the sin, from me doing haram, so Allah tells me to go to the jais path. And Allah gives barakah and shuts the door on the unlawful actions. You want to eat, you sit down. And you want to eat a good food, roaster, chicken, and everything. Fulfill your desires. Why? Because it's halal. You say, Allah, I've made a niyyah. I will eat this food. I'll get energy. And after that, I'm going to do a dhikr. And I'll pray. I'll go on tabligh. And I'll give dawah to people, propagate Islam. I'll go out on tabligh. I'll go out in your path. Okay? And I'll read Quran. And I'll recite Quran. And I'll invite people to the deen. What does that food of yours become? Tell me. What does your food become? It becomes your deen. So is there dunya in your life? No. Deen. And then if someone sees you, you're mad. Look at you. You think you're following deen. Look at his good food. Is this a deen? That person who eats good food like this. He's got, look at his clothes. They're nice and clean. He's got a nice car. Yeah, I've got a car. What's my niyyah? I've got a nice car. Allah's given me money. Because I can go to salah quickly. It's fast. I can give people a lift. And I've got nice clean life. And I can travel for the deen nicely, comfortably. So it's your maqsad. Your intention is deen. So that car of yours will become your transport for Jannah. For paradise. So for us, everything is deen. Even the dunya items are deen. What's our niyyah? For the sake of Allah. Allah, everything you've given me in the world, I'm going to use. You've got a nice bed, nice mattress, comfortable, you want to sleep, luscious comfort, I want to sleep 6 hours, and after that, what do you want to do? Allah, I'm going to get up, fresh after my sleep, I'm going to pray tahajjud. That's why I've got a nice mattress, nice bed, I'm drinking milk in the evening, warm milk, so I can sleep nice and get up in the morning, I want to pray tahajjud. Alhamdulillah, if that's your niyyah, and you've got a nice bed, but Allah, I want some more rest, and your eyes don't open, Allah Ta'ala tells the angels, that he, my servant, he drank milk, nice warm bed, warm room, and he promised he's going to get tahajjud, and he can't get up, he's feeling sleepy. So Allah says, give him the reward for tahajjud, because he made the niyyah. This is deen, or is it dunya? Dunya is not in the life of a Muslim, brothers. So this nonsense claim today, I need deen and dunya, let's mix up the... No, the mu'min's life, all of his life is deen. For example, you're going out, I want to go on holiday. Yeah, your niyyah is holiday. I want to go on holiday, I want to refresh my mind, my brain, see the world. I'll sit somewhere in the coastline, there'll be a beach, there'll be an island, there'll be mountains, and there'll be waterfalls, and I'll sit there and look at Allah's signs and do dhikr of Allah. And I went 200, I used to go 150 miles far with our Jamaat. We used to go Lake District. After we went to Lake District, alhamdulillah, we sat on the banks of the river. 1.5 hours we did dhikr in the Lake District. Subhanallah, people used to see us. What is this? We used to do dhikr 1.5 hours. Beautiful food, the dastarkhan on the floor. We used to wash our hands, have nice high quality food. Many people became Muslim when they saw us. I can tell you my history. So the mu'min become mu'min's high quality life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't it? That's it. Play games, sports. Who told you don't play sports? Travel on the horse, horse riding, play sports. Allah Ta'ala says there's nothing to prevent you. But stay as a mu'min. Every second, make the connection for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, we wander around in the world and our heart should keep saying, Allah, Allah, Allah. This is not hard, like I told you. And I've prescribed to you, learn the dhikr of Allah. And everything of yours will become worship. Everything. If we don't do dhikr, I tell you, then we are incomplete human beings. We are just flesh and bones. Our ruh is a waste. Our ruh needs what? It needs the food of dhikr of Allah. The nourishment. And Allah Ta'ala says, I've given you dunya. Allah Ta'ala doesn't stop you. Don't do this. Don't travel. Don't play sports or eat or drink. Within the boundaries of Sharia, do all the actions. Total permission, Allah says. Total. Do whatever you want. Whatever you want. In the evening, travel in the morning. I walk in the morning 2 hours. I speak to the birds. When I go out walking, I go out every day. I walk and there, and in my pocket, Allah Ta'ala has given me the phone and there's Quran. I listen to the Quran with the fadl of Allah. My whole 1 month, I walk and I listen to Quran. I do khatam of the Quran and I walk. And what's my walk? It's become dunya, is it deen? It's deen. Isn't it? I'm walking, looking at the nature, listening to Quran. So it's reward. So mu'min, mu'minat, woman, man, brother, sister, if you live within the boundary, you will enjoy your life more than those who say, I want dunya. I tell you the truth. You will enjoy your life more. So bring your deen into the dunya and you'll have a beautiful life. But only when? When you are a dhakir. When you have Allah in your heart, you have to become, will you do dhikr? Inshallah. Solid promise? I am trying so hard. I'm giving you so much information so you can practice. It's not a speech, a bayan, lecture. Yeah, for the dictionary or for the recording or for the history. Brother, I'm trying to inspire. Brothers, let's fulfill our rightful desires. We don't know how long is our life. We are tall, strong. Everyone in the world, they're scared of us. All the creation, animals. Oh, look there, he's going. The woman. That's how great is a human being. Allah says in the hadith that the human being is so great and powerful that if Allah keeps on coming out of his mouth, Allah says, I won't bring qiyamah. This is mine and your status. Mine and your status. Allah says, Qiyamah, judgment day will not come if there's a mu'min who's saying, Allah, Allah, Allah's name. Imagine. So tell me, a dhakir, imagine his value. Imagine the value. We don't even know this. We think we're worthless. We have no worth to our name. Imagine the whole creation. The scorpions, spiders, ants, birds, everything, mountains, oceans. The question doesn't arise that they will ever pester a human being. Look at the Sahaba Ikram. The Sahaba, that lions would sit in front of them, obeying them, the awliyaullah, their lives, as a Mirza Mazhar Jane Jana Rahmatullah, his life story, he liked the lion, that oh, the lion said, oh, look at this man, he's doing dhikr, he's a wali wala, he's on the right path, he's a mu'min. And he stopped there, the lion. He said, you're the lion, I'm a human being. How can you can eat me? He said, No. You are Ashraf. Oh, Hazrat, how can I endanger you? You are the ghulam of Muslim Dua. How will I answer Allah on the day of judgment? He said, the animal, quietly sat down with his paw, said, please, sit on me, oh Hazrat Mirza, and I will take you home. The lion would drop him off home. And he sat on the back, on the mane, on the back, and the lions, and people are looking, Hazrat, you are traveling on a lion? They were amazed. The lion is a transport. He said, are you Mirza Mazhar Jane? He said, the lion, you're traveling with the lion. He said, you've controlled the lion, and you can't control your wife? And he said, my wife, what is she? He said, He said that I went to your home. This man said, Subhanallah, because they don't understand the human being. The wife couldn't understand that. What a waliwullah he was. She was a wealthy woman. He said, what happened? He said, I knocked on the door. I said, where's Hazrat? And she came and said, what? Hazrat? He said, I come to see you. I said, oh, go. He must be your Hazrat. He must be there. He'll come back with the wood, the firewood. He's no Hazrat. Go away from it. He said, I was shocked that your wife, is she saying this about you? What Hazrat? I don't know Hazrat. And I was thinking that you are known by everyone. That Allah, you've shown me this as well. The answer from the wife. He said, there, you have not understand, you don't have aqal within you, said Hazrat. That this is the Ashraf al-Makhlukat, this is his work. That Allah, he did dhikr of Allah, his heart was alive, alhamdulillah. And he had the test in the home. Allah Ta'ala declared that he is my servant. When Allah Ta'ala declares that somebody says, well, then tell me, every man in the world recognizes that person as good. I tell you the truth. Every man recognizes that person. Because when Allah announces in the heavens that this is my beloved, then everything in creation says, Allah has made this man, Mr. X, his beloved. That all the animals know, and his desires are fulfilled, and all his requirements are fulfilled. So should we do dhikr or not, my brothers? So now think deeply. The dhikr of Allah, what is it that takes us far from dhikr? One thing, shaitan and the nafs. And that's the work of the shaitan and nafs. It will make us stop praying salah, reading Quran. It'll make us run after women, whistling after the women, doing bad actions, evil and the sin. But where we see the point, the action that takes us close to Allah, that will show us the manzil, the destination, then the shaitan will whisper in your heart, in your mind. It'll take you far from the deen, make you do silly actions. And here, you have to fight with shaitan. You have to fight with the nafs. Today you understand that dhikr, the maqsad, this dhikr is not for Sufis, it's not for some cult, it's not for some sect. For every single Muslim is compulsory to make the heart alive. And whether whatever work of the deen you're doing, listen to this clearly. Whatever work of the deen, whatever sector you're teaching, hadith, Quran, tabligh, whatever you are doing, every Muslim, wherever you are in the world, is fard compulsory to make the heart alive. Otherwise you cannot succeed in the work of the deen you're doing, there will be no barakah, no blessings. Not just this, that after dhikr, no. Allah Ta'ala says, carry on your work of the deen, but in parallel, you have to do dhikr of Allah. Parallel. Will you do it, brothers? InshaAllah. That's it. End of story. Simple word. Simple story. So learn dhikr of Allah from somebody. And there are two types of dhikr. One is jahir, the external, verbal, and from the tongue. And the dhikr of the tongue, for this you need time, effort, you need an environment, isolation, quiet, no pestering. You're going to shop. If you're saying, la ilaha illallah, shopping, they say, what does this man do? Has he come to buy meat? La ilaha illallah, meat shop. In the hadith, it says, no, you say, no, I have to do it dhikr all the time. But they won't accept you, but Allah Ta'ala has prepared for you. The people, they won't pester you, and you keep on doing dhikr. They won't pester you. So what a great preparation. Allah, how do I do that? Allah Ta'ala says, your heart that I've given to you, why have I given you a heart? Subhanallah. There is anything that else that beats like the heart? Nothing else, is it? Allah Ta'ala says the whole body, the blood, it pumps from where? The heart. Okay, doctor, ask him, he'll tell you the heart, it pumps the blood. How? That comes by drop. And when does the drop of the blood come out of the heart? You may have it up. When it pumps, when the heart pumps, isn't it? So the heart, it pumps the blood drops out of the heart. Aha. And those people whose hearts say Allah, 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 then every blood drop will come out of the heart saying Allah, Allah, Allah. Every drop of blood going through the veins and body. الَّذِينَ تَتْمَعِنَّ قُلُوبِنَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَتْمَعِنَّ الْقُلُوبِ. The heart says that when the heart does dhikr, the heart, every drop of the blood will come out of the heart saying Allah. And if the whole body, the flow of the blood through the body is nourished, the body is nourished by the name of Allah, then tell me what the human being will be. What a human being he will be. Imagine, whose heart is pumping up blood with Allah's name. So do you want to learn the dhikr of the heart? Do you want to learn this dhikr? Learn it. After the majlis, come to me. I will tell you that how your heart can do dhikr. 5 minutes, your heart will become alive with the fadl. Well, everything has to be learnt. Or isn't it? If we say, oh, I want to read Quran in the madrasa, come, I will teach you hifz. Okay, fine, I'll come. And then I go home. You're going home. But you just said, I'm coming to the madrasa to read Quran. No, I'm going to stay home and you teach me remotely from the madrasa. Will you learn? Can a child learn the Quran? So if he stays home and he says, I want to learn Quran in the hifz class. And he's sitting at home. You have to come to the madrasa, sit down, learn the sabak, learn the alphabet, take the lesson, learn it by heart, read it. If you say, no, I want to do dhikr of the heart, come, learn it then. No, I'm not here. I'll learn it somewhere else. Oh, servants of Allah, learn the dhikr of Allah then physically. This is ilm. This is knowledge, deep knowledge that will carry you to the hereafter. And there are alims, scholars of the dhikr of the heart, who teach the dhikr of the heart. And they are the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah. They are the sheikh, the shuyukh. The true sheikhs, what is their function? Tell me. Will they? They won't teach you the endless hadith or how to pray salah, the rules of salah. There's one function to teach the creation, dhikr of Allah. They'll teach you the method, how to do it, when not to do it, how much. They will look after you. They will clean the heart, the batin. They are the internal doctors. So go to the wali of Allah, tell him, Hazrat, teach me dhikr. I want my heart to do dhikr so I can purify myself, so I can start to do dhikr. That's it. Learn dhikr from the shaykh, teacher, do dhikr, alhamdulillah, and your heart will start to become alive, and you'll make a connection with Allah, and your heart will become munawwar with the light. Will you do dhikr, brothers, friends? Okay, fine, let's start, inshallah.